Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Good morning. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is in the front row. She is amazing and wonderful, and we have the privilege of serving and leading this church, and we love what Jesus is doing here. Last week, my wife and I were in Phoenix, Arizona, enjoying some time off and recreating, recharging, sweating. What I want to talk about this morning is slightly different, slightly out of a theme setting specifically. However, you may have noticed over the last few months, this family, church family, is growing. Amen? Numerically, it is growing. Some of us are growing in other ways. But yet, growth is growth. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about leadership. Everybody say leadership.
Leadership.
Leadership. I want to speak on leadership. In this family, as a church family, we attempt to use and have the Bible as our plumb line and use the Bible as our guidepost, our anchor, our rudder. Why do you do this? Why don't you do that? Why don't we have more of this? Well, there's lots of reasons for that, and we don't do everything right, I can promise you, but we do attempt to use the Bible as our plumb line.
Yes.
And in our church leadership here, we believe in something, a word called elders. Anybody ever heard of the word?
Yeah.
And we're not just talking about old people. Elders. The Bible talks in the Old Testament and the New Testament about elders. And currently, we have four different elder couples serving on the eldership team. And I'm going to have them stand, though I see a couple of them missing. Currently, on the eldership team, besides Randy and I, Randy, could you stand? So Randy and I serve as elders in this church. The Hookers stand as elders. There's one of them. I don't see your lovely wife, though she sometimes is hidden behind the... She's probably standing up. Sorry, Katie. God bless her. I think she's actually serving with the kids in the back. Also, we have the Perrymans and the Blocks. So these couples, I'll stand next to Sweet Pie. These couples serve as elders in the church. And this morning, we're going to add a couple to the eldership team. It's Greg and Angie Maurer. Could you guys stand real quick? Just stay there. We're going to add them to the eldership team and going forward, and super excited about it. And we're also going to pray for Greg. He's going to be one of the two associate pastors in this church. When there's a couple coming from England, Andy and Stephanie Williams, he is currently the worship pastor in our sister church in Bath, England. When they come, which they will arrive on November 20, which is a Monday, Andy will be our, no, you will not be. Andy will be our new worship pastor and serving our worship team and serving this family. Andy will also be an associate pastor, and we'll pray for them later and acknowledge him later. So, but this morning, I'm going to have them come up in a few minutes, a couple of minutes, and we're going to pray for them and just publicly acknowledge and bless them as part of the new eldership team. So it'll be a total of six couples, multiple couples, a handful. And I just want to talk just really quickly, because I said a couple weeks ago, we're going to move from a series on family into a series on the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, it's all about Jesus has resurrected, he's gone to glory, and he has birthed something called his church. It's his church. And some people like another huge institution that the world wants to hijack is this thing called marriage. And they want to redefine marriage, what it looks like, who can participate in it, what type of union is good and acceptable and lovely and progressive and cool and trendy. But marriage was instituted by Jesus.
Yeah.
It's in the book of Genesis, right at the very beginning. The first two people... Adam didn't have a girlfriend. Adam didn't have a partner. Adam didn't have a plus one. Adam didn't have a significant other. He didn't have a babe. The Bible in Genesis 2 says, your wife. And marriage was instituted by heaven. It's not an American concept. It's not a Western concept. It's not a mankind concept. That's the way God started it off. Well, also, heaven started, Jesus started something called the church. And it's so important to him. He loves it. Heaven loves the church. Could we show Revelation 19:7? The Bible says this about the church. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, Jesus. For the wedding of the Lamb, Jesus, has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Who is Jesus' bride? Not a trick question. Who is Jesus' bride?
The church.
The church. That's how he loves it, how he adores it, how he feels about it. Jesus is coming back not for churches. He's not coming back for brides. He's not even coming back for people. He's coming back for his bride, which is the church of Jesus Christ, which is one of the reasons why every week, probably 50, 51 out of 52, we always pray for two churches in this family. Always. Why? Because we are part of the bride. We are not the bride.
Right.
And I was with a gentleman this week, and he was talking about churches, and he said, we are not in a relationship. We're not here to compete. Other churches complete us. We're not in competition with any church. The bride herself is one, and other churches complete you. If you don't know the movie, that's okay. We love what Jesus is doing, and we are part and parcel. We recognize as churches, we all wear the same color jersey. We have different numbers on the back. We may have a different name across the back, but this church, Life Church St. Peter's, we all wear the same color jersey, and we're for our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20, the Word of God says this. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But what about you? Jesus asked. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. For this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, previously known as Simon, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Jesus had a really different take on marketing. And a really different take on church growth. What would we do? Put it on the billboards. He's here. Jesus says, don't tell anybody. There'll be a day. I find it funny how American churches, we want to market the church or our church. 2 points out of this passage of scripture. The first is, very simply, it's his church. In verse 18, it says this, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. It's his. He started it. It's his idea. He's kind of invested in it. He kind of likes the concept of church. Some people, and when Randy and I came back to St. Louis area again in 2007, we came back specifically with a word to come back to St. Louis specifically. And that God's heart for people were all the people starting who've given up on church. Burnt, broken, hurt, disturbed, never going to trust people again, hurt by leaders, hurt by pastors in particular, hurt by church people. And the Lord spoke to me in particular out of the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, just so many burnt stones. In the book of Nehemiah, so many burnt stones that are just disjointed, not attached, not in a wall, not any kind of family. Why? Because church can be hurtful. Church can be hard. People can be hurtful. People can be hard. And yet it's Jesus' church. He's the one who came up with the idea. Not the Apostle Paul. Not Peter. Not James. None of the disciples came up with this idea. Jesus said, it's my idea. I'm going to start my church. And this church, if you've been here for a while, you will understand. It's something we talk about here. This church, it's not Tom's church or Randy's church. The money, it's not ours. The people are not ours. The building is not ours. If you ever catch me, you'll win $100 when I say, my people, my church. It simply doesn't come out of my mouth. Randy and I are here to serve his people, his church. And it's important words communicate. They communicate heart. They communicate emphasis. They communicate principles. This church is not our church. We come here happily, but we're here to serve and to love people. But the church, it's his idea. It's Jesus' idea. It's his concept. It's his bride. Second important thing out of this passage, Jesus said about this church, and this is so important, if we can catch this also. His church, this is what Jesus said about his church. Guess what? The gates of Hades will not prevail against it. And just let that potentially sink in this morning and the few weeks to come. Not the few weeks to come, the weeks to come. We got longer than that. Jesus said this. Wouldn't it be weird if he said something like this? I'm going to start the church and the devil's going to whoop up on it and beat it. But we're going to have our day. It's going to be weak, but we're going to be short. That's not what Jesus said about his church. The gates of Hades will not overcome it. That's Jesus saying about what he built and started and is still in charge of. The gates of Hades don't win. That might adjust some people's eschatology, their understanding of a really big devil or a really small devil with a really big microphone. And our enemy's path to success is lies, deception, and puffing themselves up. But Jesus said, red letters, Hades will not overcome my church. Just a thought. It's what Jesus said. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit who is a gajillion times more powerful than a defeated enemy. A gajillion. And he's coming back to collect his bride. Not a beat up, bedraggled bride whose torn clothes, ugly, toothless church. He's coming back to collect a beautiful bride. And the reign and realm of the Lord is eternal. The church realm is just this side of heaven. But while we're on this side of heaven, Jesus says the enemy is afraid of this church, the church of Jesus Christ. I'm going to build my church and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen. Jesus is vested. It's his family and he actually cares about it. It's his head. In Psalm 127, verse 1, the Bible says this. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand and watch in vain. How we build makes a difference to heaven. We can build it American style. We can make the church corporate. We can be the best marketing church this side of anywhere. We can market till the cows come home. Or we can build it the way Jesus designed it in the Bible. With how he loves, how he leads. That leaders are known more for serving than for people carrying their bags and huge houses and lots of money. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. And we lead by loving. We lead by serving. We lead by laying our lives down. And as leaders in this church, I hope that if you're here long enough, you will see that we're more interested in serving people than being served. We're not interested in the pretty places and the nice seats and people calling us by titles rather than acknowledging our function. You may notice also that in this church, we don't go by titles a lot. And I know that's very, very, very different than some people. Very, very different than many people's experience. And you think, why don't more people call me Pastor Tom? It's a legitimate question. Do you think that's a legitimate question?
Yeah.
Why don't more people call me Pastor Tom? Because I don't find it in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, but it's very Western, very churchy. Anytime, and can I just give you a challenge? Come to me and show me. Let's have a discussion. When do you see the Bible saying Apostle Paul? Where in the Bible? Where do you see anyone calling Peter Apostle Peter in the Bible? When they write letters, this is how it started. Paul, an apostle. Peter, an apostle. So we're not great, we're not big, we're not huge on titles that the Bible doesn't use. There is one person who had a lot of titles.
Yeah.
His name was Jesus.
Right.
They called him teacher.
Yeah.
They called him Lord. They called him Rabbi, Messiah. He had lots of titles, and he absolutely allowed people to use titles because that was Jesus. When I read my Bible, whichever translation you want to use, I find it Paul, an apostle, Peter, an apostle. That's just Bible language. So you say, why don't you do that? I don't see it in the Bible. We can have a discussion. So when we add people to our leadership team, they don't go by titles. We don't give them, hey, congratulations. All they're going to do is more serving, more loving, more stuff behind the scenes. And so this morning we're going to add the Mowers to our eldership team. And what does that even mean, an elder? What the word eld means to rule. They're moms and dads in the house. Some of many moms and dads in this house. There are lots of moms and dads here that are not elders. But we simply, in obedience and listening to the Holy Spirit, he highlights and we acknowledge what he says. What do elders do? Elders lead. Elders direct. Elders care. Elders love. Elders manage. Elders serve. Elders instruct, elders correct. Elders are examples to the body, but not perfect. If you know us, you know. Elders bring direction. Elders facilitate the life of the family. Elders oversee, but they don't lord over. And we may read that scripture in just a minute. Elders, and if I can say this, this is a concept. We've worked with it really, really hard with different groups in the church. In this church, elders, leaders lead by permission, not position. Have you ever known somebody and they come up to somebody and say, ask them to do something and say, why? Because I told you to. Maybe you were in a family, and I was in that family. My dad was military, he had a military background. And I had one chance to obey. Otherwise, he was going to apply pressure to the seat of my learning. And with my dad and growing up in a military family, I had one chance for obedience. And it was really simple. Otherwise, things were going to get out of hand. But in this church, we lead by permission, not position. So if you ever, ever, ever hear a leader say, hey, could you do this? And a response goes, oh, why? Because I'm the pastor, that's why you do it. I'm a leader, that's why you do it. I'm an elder, that's why you do it. That's an anathema in this house. We don't do things because we're told to do things by people with titles. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you'll see the leaders of this church, the first one carrying chairs out of the room or rolling tables out of the room, are the first ones serving. Because that's what Jesus did. If we can look at the scripture in Mark, the Gospel of Mark. That's Mark 10, 41 to 45. This is what the Bible says. And this is about Jesus. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. James and John went to Jesus and said, hey, can we sit at your right and your left for the age to come? That was the question. But of course, they went privately to Jesus. Hey, Jesus, can we be at your right and left forever? Because I think it looks a lot better to be closer to you. Don't worry about those other schmoes. We can do great things with you. And so, I love this. This is so, I love the Bible. It puts all this stuff out for us to see. When the 10 heard about this, the other disciples, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them all together. I love this. Hey, I want everybody to hear what James and John just said. Can you imagine what James and John are getting? No. We were just kidding. It was a concept, not a request. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers, leaders of the Gentiles, lord it over them. And their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, here's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. This is what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Instead of people wearing a badge and you'll do what you're told because I'm a leader here, here's what the kingdom of heaven looks like. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. Verse 45, I love this. For even the Son of Man, speaking of himself, for even the Son of Man, even I, did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth, made everything with a word. And he came and he said, I want to show you what heaven looks like. I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to serve you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to show you how to love. I'm going to show you what a leader looks like. I love it. So why do we do some of the things we do? We read it in the Bible. We look and see what Jesus is like. And we try our best. Do we fail all the time? Do we come up short all the time? Does Tom ever have bad attitudes? Yes. Yes, the wife said. Yes. Not so quick, honey. Not so quick. Tap the brakes. She was going to pause and think about that, I'm pretty sure. It's 43 years. She's honest. So to maybe you're newish here. My question is, do you want to be part of this church family? Maybe yes, maybe no, it's okay. There's so many great churches in the area. But if your answer over time is yes, do you want to be part of this church family? Then I can just say this. Let's go on a journey together. Yes. Let's just go on a journey together. Don't worry about position. Don't worry about titles. Let's just love each other. Let's extend the kingdom of heaven together as a church family. Titles. I'd rather have a title in heaven. Yeah. I'd rather have my blessing in heaven. I'd rather have my reward in heaven. I can wait till then, and thank you very much. So if nobody ever sees me this side, I'm okay. I'm more worried about a forever. I'm trying. 1 Timothy 3:1 says this. 1 Timothy 3:1. Here is a trustworthy saying. Whoever aspires to be an overseer desires a noble task. What does that mean? Whoever wants to be an elder, whoever wants to be an elder, that's a good desire. It's a good desire. How can that be? It would be something like this. Whoever wants to be a mom and a dad, that's a good desire. It's a good desire. And most of us who have children will know, is it painful at times to have children? Makes me want to cry. So what it's saying, with the right motivation, with the right aspiration, with the right want to, it's a beautiful thing to want to be a leader when I'm understanding the cost. It means when there's an opportunity to serve, I'm first. When there's an opportunity to do something ugly, I'm first. When there's an opportunity, someone's moving house, I'm the first to say, yeah, I'll help you move. I'm getting older and slower. Here at Life Church, we love to serve, we love to love, and we love to lay our lives down for Jesus and his people. And we acknowledge giftings. We are not opposed to giftings. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says this. We believe in the giftings that the Bible talks about. We don't despise them. But we try and hold them in its appropriate place. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13 says this. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Why? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We believe in apostles, we believe in prophets, we believe in pastors, teachers, evangelists, we believe in all the giftings that they are currently in operation in the world now. They didn't die out. I still find it funny that many pastors think, pastors and teachers are the only ones still in existence. Well, that's really nice for you. They're all still available. And it's funny, you will see many people in the business world, they're actually apostolic in their gifting. Just a thought. Elders are mentioned throughout the Bible in the Old and the New Testament. We won't have time today to go into it. It's throughout the New Testament, throughout the Old Testament, eldership. Greg and Angie have been functioning in a leadership capacity for some time, and they've actually been serving with the eldership team for many months up till now. They just haven't been recognized publicly, which we're going to do today. It's a simple recognition. We're going to lay hands on them in just a moment. We're going to pray, and I'm inviting you to join us in praying. Also this morning, we'll be praying. Greg, as I mentioned earlier, will also be one of the two associate pastors. What does that mean? He's going to shepherd God's people. And you don't have to start calling him Pastor Greg. I mean, she can. I know she calls him Lord, all that stuff. I don't understand it, but that's their home, not mine. So what we're doing is we're simply acknowledging the gifting of God inside of people. It's a pleasure and a privilege. Can I have the elders, couples, come up, please, and join us. Greg and Angie, can you guys come up? I want to read one more scripture here. In Exodus 18, verse 13 to 26, Exodus 18, this family is growing. This family is growing. Exodus 18, verse 13 to 26, the Bible says this. Exodus 18, verses 13 to 26. The Bible says this. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people. And they stood around him from morning till evening. And when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" And Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." And Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable people from all the people. People who fear God. Trustworthy people who hate dishonest gain. And appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. That's to Randy. The simple cases, they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. If you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. So Moses chose capable people from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. And they served as judges for the people at all times. And the difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. So what do we learn about that? If you see me, you're a problem. No, I'm just kidding. I did laugh about that. Here's the thing. Randy and I have a capacity. There's only so much that we can do. And we recognize elders several years ago. We recognize elders. The church and family is growing. So we're going to have a couple of associate pastors. We're going to have another couple serve in the eldership team. Why? For your sake. Not for their sake, that they can finally get a badge, finally recognized. Has nothing to do with that. And in fact, if I finally need to be recognized, I'm disqualified. If that's still in there, finally, they're recognizing me. I'm sorry, you're disqualified. Because it's not about me being recognized. It's about loving people beautifully and serving people beautifully and laying our lives down beautifully. Does that make sense? So you can sit. You don't have to stand. We're just going to pray for this couple, but you can join in heart for them. So we're first going to pray and just bless them as joining the eldership team as a couple, and we love them. And then after that, we're going to just pray for Greg as one of our new associate pastors, and it'll be a wonderful thing. So we can pray. You can close your eyes. You can bring up money. They'll probably take it. I've been to churches where that happens. But let's pray for them. Anybody want to start? Rick Perryman?
Father God, we just acknowledge, first of all, you choose people. You anoint and gift them. And Father, we acknowledge that you've given Greg and Angie a heart of service. Thank you that they have already, all along, been laying their lives down for people, speaking into situations. Thank you for their beautiful gift of love. Thank you for the measure you've given them. We pray for your anointing on them, that they can serve well and serve better every day. Help them to grow into this responsibility. We thank you for the privilege of serving, Father. The privilege of laying our life down as Jesus did. I just pray for this church that we'd all learn to do that. Lay our lives down for one another. But we thank you for these examples sitting in front of us today. Mm-hmm. And we just commend them to you in Jesus' name. Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Thank you,
God. Yes, Lord Jesus. Ange, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? And what is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, so that all these things came to be, declares the Lord. But this is the one whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word.
Yeah.
I had to do a little research. It says, those who have a broken heart and a contrite spirit are willing to do anything and everything that God asks of them. Without resistance or resentment.
Yeah.
That's you.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
That is you, Angie.
Yeah.
Lord, I just thank you. I thank you for this powerful woman. Because of her contrite spirit, Lord God.
Yes.
That is what makes her powerful, Lord God. She will do anything for you quickly, without thinking, and without any lights or any accolades. It's just who she is, Lord God. We thank you, God. And for Greg and Angie, this sounds bad, but God says you've earned this.
Yeah.
You've truly, truly earned this. Through your serving, through your humility, through just your hearts to love God and to love his people and to love each other. You have totally, totally earned this.
Yeah, amen.
And we're grateful for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'm just seeing these pictures of like somebody, like a mix board for sound, or like controls on a TV where you want to like bring out certain things, like turn that down, bring that up. And it's this idea that the two of you have these, you just have really great skill sets. You're just, Angie, you have a heart for seeing people and saying, have we taken care of them? I've heard you say it so many times, but have we taken care of them? But do they feel respected? But have they been loved? Mm-hmm. And Greg, you're just great at it's administration. It's like, are we doing that well? And you both have skill sets, and you bring out a rounding out of this eldership team.
Yes.
You bring in skills and a perspective and understanding that we don't have. And so I'm just praying over you and just seeing God saying, okay, we're going to turn this down because I don't need that. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to bring this out. I'm going to bring this color out. We need more base over here. We need more color over here. So I'm going to bring these things out in you and turn some other things down so that you step out exactly as you're meant to.
Yes, Lord. That's good.
I am getting the word shade and covering. And I picture a big tree with big leaves, hot sunny day, casting shade and protecting from the sun. And God says to you, I have made you shade for many. That you cover many. You already do this. You already know this. But I'm also going to expand. Your tree is going to grow. The shade is going to get bigger. The shade is going to get cooler. The blessing, the fruit from the tree will fall for those under it to eat of it. That's you. Shade. You will grow in this. Thank you, God.
Father, I thank you for Greg and Angie, because I remember several years ago when we first met them, they became our friends. And they came into our home, and we played games. And Father, they were safe. I felt safe. And I just thank you, Lord, for this special gift of being genuine, of being real, and of being a safe place. It goes with what John just said, shade, refreshment, and love. And I just pray as we're from this day, Father, that those things would grow even more. Just grow even more. That they would hear you, Holy Spirit, so clearly in the things to say to people and how to love people. And Lord, that they would just continue growing to be a safe place, not through any hard work or effort, but that's just them, a safe place. We bless them.
So as a church family, if you could just extend your hands towards Greg and Angie. Father, we release heaven's blessing over this couple. Anointing, Holy Spirit power, gracing to lead and love your people really well, to serve them. Increase their discernment. Increase their wisdom. Increase their ability to hear you, King Jesus, to know what to do, what to say, and when. So we bless them in Jesus' name. We bless them with heaven's fresh anointing. We say amen and amen. And now, Greg, for your gifting and unique anointing. This is not opposed to Angie in any way, because she is as caring, or at times even more so, than you, Greg. In a beautiful way. But it's just recognizing anointing and capacity. Father, we bless this man and recognize him and his pastoral gift in this body and family.
Yes.
And Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." That person, Greg, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers, for the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. You've heard so many times, so many different words from so many different ministers over decades of what's to come, what's to come, what's to come. And the Lord says to you, Greg, I'm not a God who teases, but I do bring things to maturity. I do bring things to fullness. The Lord doesn't tease, but he waits for just the right time. And now is that time. So you don't have to do anything different. You don't have to be anything different. The Lord says, just be you. Take your wife with you. People will like that. Take your wife with you. Love his people. My people, says the Lord, really well.
Yes.
Encourage them, strengthen them, bless them, help them, love them, lead them. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we bless this man. Thank you for his gifting and his anointing. Thank you for the anointing on their family. Lord, may their two boys and their daughter be blessed as a result of the anointing of heaven. May the peace of heaven come over their home. May they never have to strive, work, or try to please, knowing that their Father is pleased with them now. We bless them, and we bless you, Greg, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Add one more thing. As we were praying for you, specifically you in this role, Greg, I saw a bike. And the first thing I heard was that, Angie, you're the kickstand. Which I'm like, well, that doesn't seem very great, but the kickstand is what keeps the bike from falling over. I had a bike with a broken kickstand. It was annoying because it fell over all the time and it got damaged, right? But you're the one, you keep him, you stabilize him, you keep him from falling over. And then I was just asking God about the bike, but what about the bike? You're the bike. What does a bike do? A bike gets somebody to a place faster than they would get on their own. It carries them. They have to do the work, but the bike is what moves them forward, and they get there quicker and easier than they would on their own.
Beautiful. Amen. I like that. Okay, we're going to have to be a bike church now. I see it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you have to park across the street, Greg. So, Father, I thank you for this church family that is so easy to love, that is so easy to serve, that is so easy to walk with. Holy Spirit, we ask for your anointing and your favor upon this house. Lord, that we could see the dead come to life. We could see the discouraged placed in health into the family, that they could function again. Lord, we pray for new birth. Many, many babies. At the beginning of this meeting, I heard a baby crying. And again, every time I hear it in here, I'm like, let the baby cry. As a prophetic sign of what's coming. Father, add new birth to this family. Continue. And Lord, give us wisdom on how to lead, how to love, how to serve, how to equip, how to release people into their giftings with no control and no chaos. Neither extreme, Lord. No chaos, no control. These are the sheep of your pasture, Lord. All of us. We say, we will follow you, Jesus. We will follow your voice, Holy Spirit. Bless us in our going. That we would be life givers throughout this day and the days to come. Bless this family, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, want to have folks stand with you. We have a prayer team. We like, whether it's any need that you have, we'd like to stand with you. Amen. Be blessed. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.